If we strip Samhain lore right back, what we have is the most important of the four cross-quarter days, when the veil between the living and the dead is gossamer thin. On this evening, it was said that the other world is as close as it could be to this world, and that the dead are free to roam amongst us. Though the headline-grabbing news at this time of year will always come from the whole host of other ghoulish characters from the other world, this piece will be saluting the benign dead, and how the Irish have ensured that their memory will be slow to fade. The rise of RIP.ie, the record listenership of the obituaries after the 11 o'clock news in the local radio stations, and the visceral horror at hearing about the Tomb Baby scandal will testify to the fact that the Irish take death very seriously. A recently published book called after that uniquely Irish euphemism, Sorry for Your Trouble, by Anne-Marie Hurahan, provides a sobering snapshot of how we do death in modern Ireland, its rituals, its psychological impact, and its many nuanced repercussions. In modern Ireland, we may not look forward to it, but we will ensure that it is respected and that a proper send-off will be in place for the departed, all to happen within 2 days of death. There's a widely respected view that no one shall speak ill of the dead, that shortcomings are overlooked or forgiven, and that people will gather and salute the departed with generous words of often unknown acts of kindness, hilarity, or wonder. In short, the dead are often elevated to a lofty position beyond reproach they may never have had in life. Unfortunately, the wider Irish media lacks Hurahan's painstaking efforts. There has been a sharp and distasteful rise in prurient rubbernecking on the most gruesome deaths in Ireland, with programmes such as Ireland's Unidentified Bodies, Dr. Cassidy's Casebook, or the endless coverage of murders in excruciating detail, especially the West Cork affair. Everyone needs to stop being an amateur sleuth and just let the poor woman rest in peace. Thankfully, a bit more decorum was shown in the past by the Irish press, although it must be said that writers at that time did have a tendency to frighten the bejesus out of the poor Irish at Halloween. As a Mayo correspondent wrote to the Graphic newspaper in 1881, "Unbaptized babies come to gaze hopelessly in at the warm kitchen and the mother from whom it was so crudely torn, while it shivers and wails in the cold. Then she will make the sign of the cross and then weep, but dares not offer up a prayer for the doomed soul, which she believes must wander hopelessly for eternity." Our pagan ancestors were certainly aware of the macabre, but they were not so cruel as to tell the people that hell or purgatory awaited them as the church did, that unbaptized babies were doomed to eternity as prayers could not save their souls, who were thought to be the captive of fairies, and only released on Halloween when the fairies were otherwise engaged with the lifting of the veil. As Daisy McCallion has said, not all thought that it was just the evil dead who roamed the land on Halloween. Our ancestors were aware that their own dearly departed dead might return on Halloween to politely acknowledge their presence in the form of leaving the homestead door open, a dinner chair free, some food out for them, and have a fire ready for them. However, it was deemed prudent not to wait up for them, and to get to bed early that night, once prayers had been said for the safe repose of their soul, of course. There was a possibility that the departed might be jealous of the living, or have a grievance to settle, so as a precautionary measure, it was considered best not to venture out and seek trouble in places where no such certainty lay, or which dead you may encounter. As Lady Wilde explained, "According to the popular belief, it is not safe to be near a churchyard on Halloween, and people should not leave their homes after dark, or the ghosts would pursue them. If on that night you hear footsteps following you, beware of looking round. It is the dead who are behind you, and if you meet their glance, assuredly you must die." We are of course not alone in celebrating this time of year, when the summer ends and we enter winter in earnest. Diwali comes soon after Halloween and symbolises the spiritual victory of light over darkness, good over evil, and knowledge over ignorance. The Day of the Dead is a major festival in Mexico, as well as being celebrated in many South American countries, but it is tied into the Catholic Church imposed All Saints and All Souls Days of the 1st and 2nd of November, rather than the traditional cross-quarter day we celebrate. There exists proof of pre-Columbian festivities that were very similar in spirit to Samhain, with the Aztec people having at least 6 celebrations during the year, the closest one being Chicoli, a celebration that honoured Mictlantecuhtli, or the God of War, and was celebrated between the 20th of October and the 8th of November. In Ireland, we have watched the slow erosion of sacred Samhain to Hollywood Halloween in what is known as the pizza effect, the phenomenon of elements of a nation or people's culture being transformed, then re-imported to their culture of origin. Lest I sound too much of a killjoy, Halloween has moved far from being a time to salute the shifting of seasons and the memory of the dead to a time for trick-or-treating and dressing up, which is fine, if only supermarkets could stop the stupid over-the-top ads with dreadful puns such as spooktacular, scarily good value, and it will be a scream, etc. Besides the likes of Anne-Marie Hurin, the last writer I can think of who saluted the dead with real aplomb was James Joyce in his masterful short story, The Dead. Their deeds are done, and they are now remembered with poignancy, such as Greta Conroy crying at the thought of Michael Fury literally singing in the rain to her in Galway. It's a story that starts simply, builds slowly, and ends with the finest piece of literature ever written in heartrending, fluid and mesmerising prose. One by one, they were all becoming shades, Gabriel thinks of the people he knows, and until now has taken for granted. Better pass boldly into that other world, in the full glory of some passion, then fade and wither dismally with age. It's a story to remind everyone to get busy living before we too meet our end. In The Dead, the snow symbolizes the universal attributes of death and the hold that the past can have upon the living. Just as snow in winter is inevitable, so death will come to all.
Snow is falling. Falling in that lonely churchyard where Michael Fury lies buried. Falling faintly through the universe and faintly falling, like the descent of their last end, upon all the living and the dead.